Hello, my name is Kieran Taven, and welcome to the Football Spotlight, a podcast shining a light on those with intriguing stories from the women's game. On this episode, I speak with Iceland international Dagny Brynjarsdóttir, who is currently working her way back to full fitness after giving birth to her son Brynjar back in June. We speak about the challenges of being an athlete training while pregnant, and also the moment she found out she was expecting her baby boy. Now, as a man, I will obviously never be able to relate to or experience what she went through, and I appreciate that this conversation does go into some personal areas, which were led by Dagny. But I know this was something she was okay talking about, so hopefully it gives some valuable insight, and I have huge respect for her opening up. We also spoke about her time at the Portland Thorns and, of course, the continuing growth of the Iceland national team. Like all these podcasts, I open by asking Dagny how she has dealt with being in the spotlight during her career and whether she has been comfortable being in the public eye from a young age. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my chat with Dagny Brynjarsdóttir.
I thought I dealt with it pretty well. I like having pressure on myself. I feel like when you have pressure on yourself, it means people believe in you, they believe you're good and you can achieve something. And I guess I just like being a good role model for the younger one and show them, even though you're from Iceland, from a small town in Iceland, everything is possible if you just work hard and believe in yourself.
Did you feel like there was more of a spotlight on you because you were from Iceland playing in the US college system?
Yeah, at some point, at Florida State, obviously, when I came there, they didn't see... Or they had met a lot of people from Iceland, but then I think when I start doing very well, I got more attention, and then obviously because I was from Iceland, maybe that helped with the attention too.
And at points when it maybe gets a little bit too much or the pressure gets too much, what do you do? What's a coping mechanism?
I wouldn't say I would calm myself. I think when I'm playing, I think I play best under pressure, like in the bigger games. I like being on the field, taking a lot of responsibility and being able to control stuff on the field. I think, yeah, I guess I just like the pressure.
Well, you've been away from the game for a little while, and obviously we're going to talk about that over the course of this interview. We know that you recently re-signed for your hometown club, Selfoss, and we'll talk about that shortly, but I want to talk about the time that you've had away. For those listening to this interview, you may hear a little chap next to Dagny, Brynjar, who was born in June, Dagny?
Yeah, on June 12th.
He was born in, born in June, so I've got to ask, how is he doing and how are you doing since?
We're both doing very well. He was born 4 weeks early, so that was a surprise when he came. But we're both doing very well. He's been strong and healthy since he was born, even though he came early, and just everything has been going very well from the birth.
So he's only until now. So you're looking at having signed for Selfoss just over a month after his arrival. What's the biggest challenges for an athlete when you're trying to get yourself back to that peak fitness?
I think it's just the dedication and believing that you will be back to yourself. Obviously, the body is different now. And I think, I mean, I'm not going to say the trainings are easy. And when I've been training by myself, going to the gym or going out for a run, it's tough, just like bringing your mind to it. But yeah, I guess you just have to stay focused and stay focused on your goal and believe you can achieve it, I guess.
Is there any frustrations that come with that?
Yeah, definitely. And I tried to train as much as I could when I was pregnant. And as soon as I was through week 25, I didn't feel like training at all the whole time. But I almost trained every day still, just because I wanted to make it easier for me after pregnancy. Or after giving birth. And I mean, I think it has definitely helped, but of course there's been frustration. I mean, I did the first soccer training earlier today, and I only did the warm up and the passing pattern, and my polar what said that I was in a tempo training, and normally it would be an easy training for me. So stuff like that is really hard, I guess. But then I guess I just have to believe that with every day, I'll be back to myself.
You mentioned there about the training during pregnancy as well. I know there are some that maybe have maybe mixed views about training while pregnant. I know there are a lot of players that do that, a lot of athletes, a lot of people in general will do that. Mm-hmm. What's the thinking, what's the motivation behind training while pregnant?
My motivation was I was focusing a lot on the game against Germany on September 1st, to be honest. That helped me to be motivated. I mean, I puked or threw up through my whole pregnancy. So, to be honest, I didn't feel like training a lot, but I still did. And my focus was on September 1st, and that helped me a lot. I feel like if I wouldn't have that, it would be tough to wake up in the morning and especially go to the gym.
Now, we discussed it beforehand, so I wanted to make sure that it was okay to ask this. I know that you're okay with it. I know it's not easy, but mm-hmm. You put a tweet out in March, and it was a picture of yourself with mascara running down your face, not looking overly happy. And the message that accompanied that picture was, "The only thing other women tell me is to enjoy pregnancy. It's an amazing time. This is my reality. 23 weeks pregnant. Hormones, spots on my face, pregnancy sickness and headaches, an injury from training too hard. I looked cute for 3 hours though before I had to throw up again." Can I ask why you posted that or what the thinking was behind that?
I just felt like, I mean, I was struggling, and I felt like before I got pregnant, I never heard any stories that not everything would be perfect. I only heard stories that pregnancy was amazing. You would have that. You would like glow during the pregnancy, and just everything would be great. It would be a great time, and women would miss being pregnant after they give birth. And then, I mean, I started throwing up almost as soon as I knew I was pregnant. And then through week 12, I was like, wait, shouldn't be done. Like over now throwing up. I mean, I've only heard you throw up until week 12. That's the only thing people talk about. But then, I mean, I threw up until the day before I gave birth, and when I was giving birth, yeah, too. So I just think it's important to bring into, I guess, for the younger one and to other people that it's not perfect when you go through your pregnancy. Like, a lot of things happen, and I mean, I think I was unlucky with the... that I was throwing up that much, but I know a lot of other women were struggling more. So, and I guess like younger women and girls, they don't really maybe know about this.
No, of course, and important, as you say, to almost bring a little bit of reality to some people. I don't want to dwell on that. I want to talk about the kind of time that you had when you found out. You hadn't been playing professionally for that long beforehand. How did you feel when you found out that you were pregnant, and do you almost, now that Brynja has arrived, is the motivation now to, because you're still really young, you kind of look at it as, I still have so much time to achieve what I want to?
To be honest, it wasn't planned to be pregnant, and I was on a family vacation in Spain when I found out, and I was not happy about it. It was really tough for me, really tough 3 months. But obviously, like, I've been with my fiance for 10 years, so we were like, okay, this was supposed to happen, even though it wasn't planned. But I struggled just because of my injury from last year. I mean, I was out for 5 months, and I was finally back to myself in the fall. Played probably one of my best games for the national team when we beat Germany, and a week later, a week, 10 days later, I figured out I was pregnant. So that was a shock for me. But now when he's born, obviously everything has changed. And obviously still, because it has been my goal playing on September 1st. But if I won't be ready, it's not a big deal. I think now after he's born, I kind of learned, even though soccer is really important to me, Brynjar is obviously more important. So yeah, but it's like crazy how one little person can change you this much.
So I'm going to assume that the biggest frustration when you have time away is watching Iceland be on the brink of World Cup qualification.
Yeah, I mean, if I won't be ready, it will be hard watching them, I'm not going to lie. Last time I was the national team, my water broke right after the game. So it will be stressful watching them, definitely. But, I mean, hopefully I'll be ready, but if not, I'll just be in the stand with Brynjar watching.
Of course, when you were playing for Iceland last, you were still with the Portland Thorns, very, very popular amongst those fans at Providence Park. You've signed for your hometown team, which we'll talk about in a bit. Tell me about the time in Portland. Tell me how much you enjoyed being in the NWSL, because obviously you delayed going into it for a little while because you were hotly tipped to be drafted quite high and you decided to have a short stint at Bayern Munich. So tell me about Portland and what was special about that.
Yeah, I loved it in Portland. It's such a big soccer city. I wish at some point women's soccer would be like that. Just average 15,000 at every game. It's amazing. And playing for all these people. And then, I mean, we had a great coaching staff and we're just treating like real pros. And obviously they're high quality players in every position and on the bench as well. So I love being there, getting better every day and improve as a player. And I think I definitely got better there as a player when I was there and grew and learned a lot as a person.
And of course, your last game for the team was winning the NWSL title, wasn't it? That must have been special. Not the best of games, it has to be said, but a medal round your neck at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, that was great. Great experience. But I feel like, as you said, yeah, it was the best game. But I feel like a lot of the time the finals are like that. Both teams are passive. They're aggressive, but not that many chances. But probably not the most fun game to watch. But it doesn't matter when you have the medal in the end, I guess.
Well, there's another Icelandic player, obviously, in the NWSL at the moment, isn't there? Gunnar Jónasdóttir is playing for the Utah Royals. I want to talk a little bit about Iceland because we've seen the men's team again performing in a major tournament. The women's team have played in the last couple of major tournaments as well, on the brink, as long as results go your way, of potentially going to the 2019 World Cup. There's a lot made of Iceland's small population, and yet they're able to produce not just a very good men's team, but a very good women's team as well. Why is that? Why is it Iceland, number one, are able to do what they're able to do? And number two, why do you think it is that you guys are so popular?
I just think here in Iceland, like our coaches are really well educated. And especially now, they just, obviously when I was growing up, not all of them are educated. But today, I mean, we have coaches who might be coaching a full team for a club, also coaching the 5-year-old. So, and I think that's amazing. So now our young players, they start learning and getting better just from 4 or 5 years old. And I also think because our facilities are really good, we have few indoor halls with a turf and full size, few of them all over Iceland. And then most teams have a lot of grass and outside turf as well. So I think that definitely helped. And then I just think when you grow up, you're so free just free. We don't have much danger here. So people can be on the field outside all the time playing soccer. And I think that helped a lot.
The league obviously over there doesn't do too badly. I know it's not recognized as maybe one of the top leagues in the world of football, but a number of the players from the national team play in that league, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think the league here is okay. I think it's really good when you're young and getting better. But I think when our national teams do their best is when we have the most pro players. So, I mean, I always hope we're going to have more players on the national team playing overseas, just because, as I said, the league here is okay, but I feel like at some point you need to, if you want to get better, go outside the country and get better, and that's going to help the national team.
So you've recently signed for your hometown team, Selfoss. Is this, would it be fair to say you're just looking at the immediate future at the moment, getting back playing, getting back fit, and then see what happens after that?
Yeah, my goal is to play overseas next year. So yeah, I only signed a 2-month contract with Selfoss. They have a great facility, great coaches, and we agreed on they're going to help me to get back to my fitness, and I'll help them as much as possible before the season is over.
And do you have a desired destination? Is there anywhere that you would prefer to go, you'd like to go?
Yeah, I want to play in the NWSL again. I mean, I tried Germany, and now I've played 2 years in the US, and I think I've improved most as a player in the US, and I think the league there is, I think it's the best in the world. So if I can play there, I want to play there.
I want to finish off with a section on the podcast that will be a regular throughout the series, and that's bringing a game under the spotlight where it's of significance for a particular reason. It could be a win, it could be something that you learned from a defeat, could be something that happened in that game. Now, I asked in advance for you to pick a game. Dagny, you cheated, you picked two games, so I'm gonna have to go with the two. Now, you picked, first off, you picked the 2013 College Cup final, where you were playing for Florida State University and you lost in extra time to UCLA. Now, those were two incredible sides, weren't they? I know that your FSU side, there was yourself, Megan Campbell, Cassie Coleman, a number of decent players in that team. UCLA had the likes of Sam Mewis, Megan Oyster, Abby Dahlkemper. Why have you picked that game in particular?
So I picked that game. I mean, UCLA were better than us. They deserve to win. But I just think, for me as a player, I learned a lot, and I kind of figured out what I needed to do to win the game a year later. And I just felt like, obviously, I wanted to win the championship all my 4 years, but I was even more dedicated to do everything to win it the year after, and which is great that it worked out like that. But I think with that loss, that definitely helped us win it a year later.
It was a close game, wasn't it? It was an extra time goal that inflicted the defeat. And obviously it was a golden goal. So that was, once the goal had gone in, that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah. But they were better than us, though, even though it was a close game. They were better, to be honest.
But you learned from that.
It's sad to say it, but we worked on our weaknesses, and I trained so hard, like I did so many extra training just to have a better season the year after.
And you did, because you obviously went on and won the College Cup. You beat Virginia 1-0 in the final. That Virginia team had some good players as well in it, didn't it? Morgan Bryan was in that side. I'll touch on your second game shortly, but talk about that one as well, because that must have felt even better after the defeat the previous year.
Yeah, and Emily Sonnet was on the team as well. So we've been talking about that game a few times. But yeah, I mean, those college team we played against, they had a lot of big players. And I mean, it wasn't easy to beat Virginia, but we did. So yeah, I felt like what we worked on that year since we lost against UCLA worked out.
And the second game that you picked was actually from the same year as the defeat to UCLA. It was a 1-0 win over the Netherlands at Euro 2013. Now, it wasn't just the fact that you beat them 1-0, you scored in that game. And you scored in that game having suffered a broken foot in the game before against Germany. Now, you told me beforehand that you didn't know you had a broken foot, obviously. But why have you picked that second game?
So I picked it because I started on the national team 2010, and I was 18 at the time, and I had been on and off the starting lineup. And 2013, in the preparation before the Euros, I saw I wasn't supposed to be in the lineup. I was supposed to be on the bench. So in the last game we played, we just played a scrimmage the day before we went to the Netherlands. No, was it in the net? No, where was it? Oh, into Sweden.
In Sweden.
And then I was with the bench players, but I played myself into the lineup. So in the Euros, that was my first time being in the starting lineup, like constantly. Yeah. And then when I scored that goal, we qualified for the quarterfinals. We went out from our group, and that was the best thing the women's team had ever done. And I think that was kind of the beginning for myself being the key player for the national team, and maybe showing people that I was good enough to like control the middle and play a big role on the team.
Because it was a typical Dagny Brynjarsdottir goal, wasn't it? Running late into the box and getting a header from across. What do you remember about it?
Yeah, it was a typical goal for myself. I've scored two goals like that. But yeah, I just remember when I scored, but I don't remember much after it. I feel like I was in a blackout when it happened.
But like you say, it was a really important moment for Iceland, but an important moment for you because, as you said, you've become a focal point of that Iceland team. There are some really talented players in that side, as we mentioned already. 2017 Euros didn't quite go according to plan. So what's kind of the thinking now? Last question in terms of your ambitions and what you hope to achieve with that Iceland team.
Yeah, I think we were unlucky 2017. We had a lot of injuries. I think a month before the Euros, we were missing 5 players in the starting lineup from injuries. We had two ACLs. One of them was our captain. I had the injury. One broke her foot. One was pregnant. Yeah, so we had 6 players who had been in the starting lineup. They were out, so the coach said they had to figure out what to do before the Euro. So we start playing a different formation, and the injured players, that we were coming back slowly before the Euros, and 3 of us were back, but we were not at our best shape. I mean, I was back, but I had only trained even at my best. But I think if we qualify for the World Cup, hopefully we won't have as many injuries. And if we can build on what we did in our group, I mean, we've been playing very well in our group. And if we can build on that, especially what we won the game when we beat Germany last fall, then I think we can definitely do better than when we played at the Euros last year.
Okay. Well, look, I really appreciate your time, Dagny, and I wish you well with Selfoss. I wish Brynjar all the best as well. Hope he continues to bring you all the joy and happiness that I'm sure he has done already. And we look forward to seeing you back in that blue shirt of Iceland in front of your supporters doing the Viking clap as well.
Thank you so much.
So many thanks there to Dagny for her honest and open insight. I look forward to seeing her back on the field with Selfoss, and maybe in the NWSL sometime in the future. Don't forget to check out some of our other podcasts on iTunes, Spotify and Google Podcasts, where you can hear from the likes of Ali Wagner, Heather O'Reilly, Jackie Gronin, and this from Matt Beard.
You know, one thing they've done which was intriguing to see, they drew names out of a hat and they had to buy like a coffee mug or a cup of tea mug for each other, and that mug had to describe that personality on who they drew out. And you know, they've done the grand opening, should I say, on Wednesday, and it was just great to see the camaraderie and the togetherness of the group.
Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for giving this podcast your time. Do please tell people about us on social media and spread the word. You can find us on Twitter on @FootySpotlight. But for now, on this episode, it's time to dim the spotlight and say goodbye.